Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In that spirit of thanksgiving, let's just continue to thank our Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we are grateful for this 12th day of this July, Lord, that you are here with us to bless us. You have something for us, Lord. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. If it's not for Jesus, where would we be? How would your life look like if Jesus had not intervened? Jesus intervened at the right time. And he put his stamp on us that we are his beloved. And the devil cannot touch us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm thankful for being here today, this morning. We thank God for making it possible for all of us to be here this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a place, the right place for you. Amen. This is where you're supposed to be. Amen. You're not supposed to be at home if you're able to come here. You're supposed to be here because God has an extra presence. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to thank all of us for being here. Thank our senior pastor for this opportunity to minister the word this morning. Amen. Thank Mommy Tinu for this opportunity. It's not that we don't take it for granted. I don't take it for granted. To minister before God's people is a privilege. God has something for us this morning. I believe so. I believe so. Deep down in my heart, I believe so because I've been blessed by what he has put in my heart. Hallelujah. Before we go, I would like us to go through our vision, confession for the year. Hallelujah. Are we ready? Okay, let's go. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, passover, take over, make over, do over, walk over, and fly over. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. He gives one like the God of Israel, who rides across the heavens to help me. The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath me are his everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before me, and he will say, "Destroy, I am helped. Favored and blessed. The Lord is my saving strength and the shield of my life. My help comes from him who made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to slip or be moved. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord preserves me from all evil in my going out and coming in. He is my protective shade and my covenant covering. I sit fearlessly and confidently at the throne of God's unmerited favor and soak up his mercy and grace. Praise the Lord, I am helped, favored, and blessed. This is my year of the incredible. My incredible praise to my incredible God is provoking incredible miracles in my life. Strange things, remarkable things, extraordinary things, astonishing things, and unimaginable things are all lined up for me in this season. The story and glory of my life today will be improbable, amazing, unthinkable, and uncommon. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 2026 is my year of non-stop laughter, celebrations unlimited, unending festivities, around-the-clock jubilation. Adversity will expire and I will recover. God will have the last laugh and the final say. I am laughing today, tomorrow, and the day after. Look what the Lord has done. There is no inspiration on his promise now. Sorrow is destroyed. Failure is forgotten. Anxiety is vanquished. Fear is defeated. Setback is sent back. Bad news is stale news. Satan is conquered. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, laugh with me. In this season, it's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. And he sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. God said he has given me treasures hidden in the darkness and secret places of the earth. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From bitter waters in Marah to pleasant streams in Elim. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From forsaken to Hephzibah, and from rejected to Beulah. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From beggar to ruler, from loner to donor, from supplanter to contender. In this season, it's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my year of vision shift and generational shift. I see the invisible, and I do the impossible. This is my season of opportunity and open doors. I give my bread to the hungry, and I offer hope to the hopeless. I am anointed to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort the afflicted, and to set the captives free. The spirit of sacrifice is upon my life. I say yes to your way and yes to your will. My Father, I choose you as my priority and I make you my destiny. I receive the sweet fragrance of heaven over my life today. The plague is stopped, the curse is broken, and my bloodline is redeemed forever. Amen. Hallelujah. I speak life, Lazarus, comfort. I speak life to you. Dry bones come alive. I speak life to every part of my body and my mind. Come alive. I speak life to you. Cells, vessels, nerves, tissues, organs, systems, limbs, and joints. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. I speak life to you. Dreams, womb, ventures, investments, treasures, properties, ministry, family, partnerships, come alive in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Begin to speak life over you. Speak life over your family. Speak life over your job. Speak life over every situation. Speak life, speak life. Speak life, speak life. In Jesus' name. Amen. 2026. It's my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, Passover, takeover, makeover, do-over, walk-over, and fly-over year. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's be seated, let's be seated, let's be seated. Give glory to God. Give glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this morning. Your word is about to go forth. We pray that you speak to us, touch our hearts, touch our minds. We ask that you touch corners in our hearts that we've been keeping away from you, where we've been ashamed to expose. We pray that your word will come and break every barrier, every chain, break every chain asunder. We will praise your name at the end of this message. We will thank you for your goodness. We will thank you for your move. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I am excited. For those of you, maybe you did not know, last Sunday was something else. Yeah, it was. But you know what? I just want to say thank you for all those who were there. Your presence made it special. You remember in the story in the Bible when this man had a feast and he sent the dignitaries that they should come. And everybody gave a reason not to come. And he said, okay, go, just go call people from the street and let them come. You know, when people come to celebrate with you, don't take it for granted. That is what it's all about. Celebration is people coming. Amen? Amen. If not, I would have just remained in the house and made my cake and eat with my kids. No fulfillment is there, right? But when you share with others, you bless yourself. Amen. Amen? The route to blessing is to share. And I'm very grateful for all of you who made it. Thank you so much for being there. You made the day. Amen. So, 2 weeks ago, we were somewhere. Can anybody remember where we were 2 weeks ago? Columbus. Yeah, we were in Columbus. Hallelujah. Amen. We were in Columbus. It was a wonderful service. Yeah. Wonderful service. I mean, it was a wonderful service in such a way that the message today, I can just sum it up to be, let us go back to that message. Yes. The title of my message this morning is Before Life Happens. If you remember or you've not gone back to listen to that message, you pick what the pastor said towards the end of the message about life happening. Yeah. Before life happens. You know, open heavens to me is very special, not only because it's the month, always in the month where I was born. There was even one which was on the same day I was born. It was on my birthday, I remember. I think there have been two like that. I always take it special. I always look at it as a time to calibrate, recalibrate, realign. For those of you who have vehicles, when you enter into your vehicle and you drive within the city, you might not know that your tire needs realignment. Because it's just normal, 25 miles an hour, you know, if you don't want the popo to show up. But if you take it to the highway and you put it on 65, 70, if there's a problem with your tire, you will hear a wobbling. Your steering will start shaking. That shaking is to tell you that there is something wrong with your tire. It needs some realignment. Amen? That's how our Christian life is. There's a moment in our Christian life where we need realignment. And to me, open heavens is a realignment point. When I go to open heavens, I expect God to talk to me. Not just for 1 month or for 2 months. To talk to me for my life. And this open heavens, I am telling you, for those of us who have not even gone back to listen to it, I implore you in the name of God, please go back and listen to that message. Amen? Amen. Go back and listen to that message. It was your best life awaits. That was the message. Your best life awaits. The tendency is when we come, when we have these messages, the moment we leave that area, then life knocks on your door. Life begins to tell you, I am present. I am the one you should focus on. And before you know it, 1 week, 2 weeks, you don't even remember what happened, what the message that was said. I don't want hands to be put up, but do you know that there was an assignment given to us during that open heavens? There was an assignment given to us. The 30-day miracle journey. The 30-day miracle journey. It was an assignment, specific assignment. I'm not going to elaborate it here, but that's why I want you to go back to that message. Because I might be telling you what God has told me. God has something for you. Amen? For those of you who don't know how to get to the message, Pastor Muyiwa was, during the announcement, you saw how we talked about ways you can contact us and, you know, go back to our former messages, YouTube, iPad. I don't know if Android, do you have any podcasts? In Android, what do you use? There's Android podcasts, right? You are easily accessible to your phone. And your phone is easily linked to your vehicles right now, unless you have what I used to have. A Buick Park Avenue 1993. So we cannot complain. We cannot excuse ourselves that we don't have access to these messages. Amen? Now, this morning, God does not want me to preach a new message. God wants us to remind ourselves that there is a message he has for us. It's online. Can we go to Matthew chapter 13? This is a very, very popular parable by our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 13 from verse 3. Matthew 13 from verse 3. Now, the Bible says he told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. For, as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Now other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil. And they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. That is our heart. Our attitude to the messages we get. Our attitude to when we receive the word from God. How do we treat it? How is your heart? Is your heart that stony heart? Or is your heart full of different things? Like the third one said, if you go to 7. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up. Thorns! If you go in the wild, wherever there are thorns, nothing survives. Thorn has a capacity to suppress. Like they'll say in the Darwin's theory, survival of the fittest. The thorn survives wherever you plant it. Why? Because he makes sure anybody competing for food with him is choked out. Amen. Natural phenomenon. These thorns that we have here, we can relate today as life. The things that we go through in life can be thorns in our hearts. That is why when you come out of a meeting, in short, some people, even while we are in the meeting, when it's close to like say 11:30 or 12:30, some will start thinking about what am I going to eat after the meeting? You know? Did I finish that assignment I was supposed to do? While the message is going on, the thorns are already choking God's word in your heart. Your heart is fertile. The Bible says it's fertile. Your heart is fertile. But nothing grows there because there are thorns inside. The word of God does not have an impact. Because there are thorns, life has come with its demands. That is what life does. It demands from us. It tells us, this is what I want you to do for me. America is a society that is built and set up in a way right now, well, it has always been like this, where everything calls for attention Everything calls for everything we do, morning, afternoon, evening. It calls for attention. You wake up in the morning, the first thing, your job or your kids or your business, that's what preoccupies your mind. Those things are not bad, but it preoccupies. When it begins to preoccupy your mind above the word of God, that's a problem. It means it's choking the word in your life. And then you will begin to wonder why the word of God has no fruits. You see, verse 8, what it says, when it falls into that soil that is fertile, has no thorns, what happens? It begins to, you know, it's a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much. You bear fruits. Now, the goal of the word of God in our hearts is to bear fruits. Any believer who does not bear fruits, ask yourself, something is wrong somewhere. You know? If you don't bear fruits of righteousness, if you don't bear fruits of the life of God, where people can see and testify that there is something that you have I don't have, if you have not had that impact in somebody's life where there's no fruit to show forth, it means the word you are receiving is being choked in your heart. It's being choked in your heart. As I was preparing for the message, the Holy Spirit kept reminding these things in my life before life happens. And then when I was listening to the message, then I realized there's something I don't. When did the pastor say this thing? I did not pick it up. I said, but where was I? I was somewhere, I know. But sometimes you are in the meeting, but your mind is somewhere else. While he's illustrating something, your own mind is also illustrating in your own corner. That is why it's always good to go back to these messages, go through them prayerfully. While you are going through them, ask the Holy Spirit for revelations to give you what he wants you to get from it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to manage the way we listen to God's word. We are in a day where you can have your phone and there are shorts, right? You can spend hours just watching shorts. YouTube shorts, Facebook shorts, any other shorts. Those are the two I know. Instagram has shorts. I don't have Instagram. Hallelujah. Any other shorts again? They are shorts. Which one? No. Uh-huh. TikTok. Uh-huh. Oh, I don't have TikTok. Thank God. I remove Facebook from my phone. I say, go. Get out of here. You know? Because you find yourself scrolling. It's supposed to be illegal. No, truly speaking. There are some people fighting for it. Your kids can scroll on that thing for 3 hours. They can. They are playing on. Look, these big corporations have psychologists working for them. They will go to these big universities and meet these smart, really smart professors and ask them, how do you think we can better this app? And they'll tell you, human nature, this is how the human being behaves. If you give them something just at once or little by little, they don't know when. Before they know it, they're already consumed. They're already consumed. So we have to guard ourselves in this day and age. You have to guard yourself. We don't have to be onlookers. We have to be active in this generation and age. We have to be active participants in this generation and age. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is there to help us. The Holy Spirit will rebuke us when things are wrong. He will reveal to us that, look, this path is wrong, or this thing you are doing is wrong. But you have to be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit when it says, don't do this or begin to do this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So our hearts, It's a fighting ground. Our hearts, fighting ground for seeds, for thorns. We have to come to a place where thorns, when they come, we know how to manage them and tell them no. The word of God is what matters. The word of God has to prevail in your life. For open heavens to make sense, to have an impact. I mean, it was, and I listened to it, I'm like, wow, this is something else. I mean, it's like the Holy Spirit used Pastor in a way to bless us. Recalibrating your life. Realigning your wills. You have to do it. God has given us a vision, like we say. Impacting life, I mean one life, the nation, one life by another, one person at a time. Thank you. But are you going to impact a life? If you yourself, you are being tossed to and fro by this life that we are living in. I remember once a sister visited back. I was in Cameroon, back in Africa. A sister visited from America. And so we're asking, how is this person? How is this person? Then she looked and told us, very serious and very genuine, and said, Kermit, I think I know of two people who are surviving in America, I mean spiritually. She said, the other people that you are asking, they are struggling. Because America is a place, it's like quicksand. If you know what quicksand is, when you put your foot on quicksand, it begins to sink. You just go inside. And when I came here, then I understood what she said. The place has a way of calling for us, calling our attention. So many things. The distractions that we did not have back home, we have them here on demand. Amen? And so, if you fall into the tricks that the devil has, before you know it, you ask yourself, is this how far I have gone? But you see, God is calling us this morning to be able to identify the evil plans of the devil, using life to choke God's word in our hearts, that we become unfruitful. I want to be fruitful. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to have an impact. I don't want to go with emotions. Amen? I don't want to go with emotions. I want in my family, people will know. When they are seeking for some spiritual advice, I want them to come to me. Amen? I want to be that gate man for my, the watchman for my family. I want to be it. I do not want to allow my family to be tossed to and fro by the devil the way he wants. I do not want that. I want to be an active participant in the well-being of my family. I want to be an active participant in the well-being of my city. For some of us, we don't even know what's happening in our cities. We do not. I mean, yesterday my son stood and heard. Bah, 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 bah. He went behind and said, Daddy, it's like there's fireworks. I'm like, fire, really? I said, are you sure it's not somebody who is just still enjoying 250? And after about 15 minutes, I see head. Bah, 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 bah. I said, oh, yeah. I say, yep, my city surely has their fireworks. Then all of them said, oh, I remember, we saw it. It was written on a board that July 11th, fireworks. I said, you should have told me now. I told them that when things are like this, because I like them to witness these things, I don't want to rob you from your youth. You know, when we are big, some of us, we have no, you know, those things don't really work, matter for us. But for these kids, it's something really, really, you know, exciting for them. I said, but you should have told me. I would have gone, you know. I took them. I said, let's go. Maybe he's still on. We went there. There was no fireworks. Then we came back and then pat, we still heard it. Ah. Is this? Then the way he came, I told him, yeah, I understand. You know, when you have fireworks towards the end, they just make it a lot. And then he comes. I said, it's okay. Next time, please, when you hear things, when you see these things, tell me. Okay? Because we are not far from a police station. They put it there. They always put things in the city. But why am I saying this? We have to be aware of what's going on in our city so that we can be watchmen to pray for the city. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to be aware of these things. We should not just live like, you know, like we are undercover. We don't know. We don't want to know. We don't want to. Well, I'm not saying you should go and get involved and be the one to put the fireworks. No. What I'm saying is if you have to be aware of the activities and the things that your city is going through so that you know how to pray for your city. Amen. Amen? You know how to pray for your city, how to shout out. That's what we have been called, to be watchmen. Yes. That's what we have been called. We have not been called to just be go with emotions. Hallelujah. So we have to. God has called us to a life that is not like the normal life. Sorry, but that's what it is. But now the problem is we've tried to be the normal, to live normal lives, like live like normal people. No, we are not called to just live normal. Because there's something that we see in the spirit that the normal man doesn't see. And when we see these things in the spirit, we are not supposed to just stay quiet, right? We're supposed to act on them. We're supposed to act on them. We're supposed to know when a city or a country, the direction it's going, so that we can pray for that country, right? So that we can lift up our voices for the country. So don't cozy down. It's not time to cozy. It's not time to cozy. Your best life awaits. Your best life awaits. And in that message, the pastor was talking about resetting your life. Some of us will need to reset our lives. It's just normal, the usual thing. No challenge. Nothing. You get up in the morning, no challenge. What comes is your routine. Your normal routine. No challenge. But if you are going to be useful in this vision that God has given our senior pastor, if you are going to be part of it, you're supposed to awake. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because your best life awaits. Meaning that the best life is just waiting for you. You know, that's what it means. It means that the best life is there. It's just, I'm waiting for you. The moment you get into this 30-day miracle journey and have that vision, you know, that dream that the pastor talked about, the moment you see that dream and you get into the 30-day journey, by the time you are at the end of this journey, the life that I waited for you will come up. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Will come up. If we go to, I think it's 1 Kings 19:7, this story of Elijah. You know when Elijah was being chased by Jezebel, the Bible says he went somewhere and then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more or the journey ahead will be too much for you. Eat. So he got up and ate and drank. And the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, where the mountain of God. That is our 30-day journey. Hallelujah. When you take that 30-day journey, it's like food, Elijah. The goal is the dream, right? When you take that 30-day journey, you have food enough to get to your Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. That is just how it translates. When you take the 30-day, like the pastor said, every morning, you pray for it. How are you going to be useful in his hands? How am I going to be useful in God's hands? You have dreams like this. See, men shall dream, young men shall see vision. What is the dream that God has put in your heart? What dreams do you have? One of my sons told me my dream is to become the best soccer player in the world. I say, amen. That's a dream, right? But you don't just say, I'll become the best soccer player in the world and sit and eat fufu and gari and a burner within Kobe. You know? You don't do that. But now when I look at him, he comes out from school, takes his soccer ball and goes behind the house and is just practicing alone without asking. Somebody who has a vision. It's what I'm talking about. When you dream, do you just think your dream will come to pass? We have to birth our dreams to life. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. I have my dream. I've written it down. Every morning I pray for that dream. I say, Father, this is my dream. It was an instruction you gave us, Father. You gave us this instruction. It is there, Father. I want this dream to come to pass. This dream must come to pass. Hallelujah. This dream must come to pass. The world knows how to follow their dreams. Why shouldn't we follow ours? The world knows how to follow their dreams. They don't joke. They don't. If you go to biographies of the great ones who did extraordinary things, find out how they became what they are. They were not sleeping. They did not see themselves as normal with the others. They were not going with the motions. They were not doing it. All the greats that you have, think of them. All from classical music to sports, to entertainment, to literature, to science, engineering, and all, everything you can think of. Anybody who has made a name was not a revelation that just came and said, oh, this is it. No, it wasn't. People worked hard. People spent sleepless nights. People tried 1,000 times. Like one of them said, I tried this invention 100 times and I failed. And so I knew 100 ways not to try it. Amen. But we have to try it. We have to, we are supposed to be the light of the world. We are supposed to show them how it's done. Amen. I will not envy the world. I envy not the world. The world should envy me. Hallelujah. The world should envy you. Your life should be envied, not despised. Or people should not see you and despise you. People should see you and want to be like you. That is the life of God. The life of Jesus is the one that attracts people. Why? Because it's extra. It's different. It is not the way the world wants or expects from you. It is not. It's a totally different life. Why? Because this is the life of God. The life of God is what we live. Elijah ate. His goal was to go to the Mount Sinai, to mountain of God. But God knew that it's a long journey, a long one. And God is the one who fed him. If you have a dream, you need God to fulfill it. Amen. For those who have received dreams from God and think that they can do it on their own, they will fail along the way. Because what you need, when God gives a dream, he provides a means. Amen. When God gives, now if you begin to dream And God puts a dream in your heart and in your mind, in your natural self, it's a very big dream. That should not deter you. Know one thing, if God gives a dream, he provides a way. Amen? Just like where there is a will, where God's will is there, there's a means. So we should not be afraid when these dreams come. When the dreams come, you should not be afraid. Write them down. Pray them to existence. Pray them to existence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, at some point when I was listening, I was like, the Lord was in Columbus. Did I miss God? I don't want to miss God. Remember Bethel, Jacob? After sleeping and getting up, what happened? He said, the Lord was in this place and I did not know. And he made his promise. The Lord is in places. It's in messages. The Lord is in places, but we don't recognize that God was there. The Lord was in Columbus. Did you know? Please, if you did not know, I am telling you, God was in that message. God, that message was from God. That message has come to equip God's workmen, workwomen. If you want to work in God's kingdom, that message is come. It came to tell you that God is ready to use you. Amen. Amen? As long as you are ready, willing, God is going to show. God is going to show. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That is what life does. We have to fight. We have to fight the impact that life does to us, especially when it relates to the messages that God gives us. We have to fight it. We have to make sure if we get a message, that message is, it becomes life in us. Amen? Amen? That message, then if not, We're just practicing religion, right? Just practicing religion. You know? The Apostle Paul said, when I came to you, I did not come with wise words, wise and enticing words of men. It was a demonstration of power. That's what he said. That's the word of God. The word of God must come to us and elevate us. If you listen to God's word every day and you still have strife and anger in your heart, the word has not elevated you. You have not given opportunity for God. You have not lived that life. Hallelujah. If you listen to God's word once, there is no desire to listen to it again. Check your heart. Amen. Check your heart. I know now is a season of World Cup for the soccer lovers. Sorry. You have one more week and it will be over. You know, but before the World Cup started, I just want to show you the passion that some people have. Before the World Cup started, I said I should check the prices of the tickets. I looked at it and I said, oh Lord, no way. I said, I cannot buy a ticket. With three boys and my wife, take them to for a game. I said I could even take them for one game. I looked at the money. I said, "Aye, it's not happening. No, it's not happening." But I watched these games. I kid you not. I saw populations. I'm like, this is passion. You know, everybody was complaining before the World Cup. Oh, it's too expensive. And then I told my friends, I said, what is happening? Is it different or what? The fields are full because these people are passionate. Hallelujah. They are passionate.
But why is it that we are not as passionate to know our God, to serve our God, like this, like the world does? There's somebody I saw who came from Britain with a grandfather. He took all his savings. All his savings. He said it's a journey of a lifetime. One, he comes once. Because he does not know if his grandfather will be alive for the next one. And he doesn't know when it will be in America again. So he took the grandfather, went to his savings account, and spent everything. Plane tickets, a hotel. That's it. It's a passion for a sport that he likes. What's the passion for the God that you love? What's the passion for the God that you love? Where is that passion? Like I said, the world should, I should not imitate the world. The world should imitate me. Hallelujah. The world should imitate me. How can people be so passionate that money is nothing to them? It is the satisfaction that they get from what they are paying for that matters for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us, they will say, okay, we have a program somewhere, or we need something. We will think and make excuses. We will create excuses just because we don't want to do it. I mean, we'll create them just because we don't want to do it. It shouldn't be like that. Hallelujah. When it involves our God, it should be a priority. You should sacrifice, and people will be like, ah, why are you doing it? I say, no, it's for God. And when they see that, they will know one thing, that you are a lover of God. Your life is different. Something is different about you. You know? Something is different about you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when life happens, we have to control life. We have to tell life, you this thorn, you want to choke the seed of God's word in my heart. Nah, I'm not falling for it. Hallelujah. Not falling for it. I'll do what verse 8 says. If you can see, put that Matthew 13, verse 8. I'll do what it says. I'll do what it says. You know? Praise the Lord. I hope you are dreaming. I hope you are dreaming, because you know, our confession says this is a shift, you know, shift, right? The shift is here. The shift is here. Everything is pointing to a shift. Hallelujah. Everything is pointing to a shift. We have to have that shift in our lives if we want to have that impact that God wants us to have. You know, in verse 18, if we go to verse 18, the Bible, in Matthew 13, verse 18, the Bible says, still other seeds, oh no, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. 19. Now, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. We are not those ones. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. 20. Now, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. It's wonderful. Wow, powerful message. Now, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Just fall away. You cannot stand for Jesus. Now, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out. Why? By the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. 23. Now, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. That was the explanation Jesus gave to his disciples. Where is your heart amongst those hearts? Where is your heart? The priorities, a very quick test will be, ask yourself, what are my priorities? Be true to yourself. What are my priorities? Then you'll be able to know where your heart is. Hallelujah. But you know what? This morning, there is a shift. We have come for a shift. Wherever your heart is, if it's not on the fourth one, the fertile soil, where there are no thorns, this morning is an opportunity for a shift to happen. Hallelujah. Focus on yourself. Ask yourself, where are my priorities? Where are my thoughts floating to, gravitating to? What preoccupies me? What preoccupies me? Am I excited when it's about God? When anything is about God, do I want more? When I hear God's word, do I want more? That's a heart that is fertile, because a fertile ground will know when seed falls on it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, this morning, the first part I would like to say, we should go back and listen to your best life awaits. Listen to it. Take your paper, take your pen. Take your book, your notebook, take your pen. Listen to it for yourself. I do not want to share what I got, because I want you to have your own individual impartation that the Holy Spirit will minister to you when you listen to it. Take some time, specific time, listen to it, apply it to your life. Hallelujah. Just apply it to your life. And then when we come next week, you have a testimony. Praise the Lord. I mean, you have a testimony. There is no way you will go through that message and you will not be touched. I can guarantee you. If you are not touched, you need some deliverance. But no, you will be touched. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have you been blessed this morning? Yes. Please, let's stand up. God is calling us for new beginnings, for shifts. And God has a message that he has already sent through his servant. And we will be doing ourselves a disfavor if we do not go back to this message and listen to it and get exactly what God intended us to get as individuals, corporately. Hallelujah. Go through it. Do not allow life to happen. The life should not choke the word of God in your heart. Life should not choke the word of God in your heart. Life will not choke the word of God in my heart. Say that to yourself. Life will not choke the word of God in my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word. Oh, Father, thank you for your word. You have something new for us. You have preserved something new for us. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will get that which you have for us, that which you've prepared through your word during open heavens. The message you pour out through your servant, our senior pastor. Life awaits. Our best life awaits us, Father. We want to have that best life, because we know it is that life that has impact. It is that life that has fulfillment. It is that life that has satisfaction, uncertainty in this world. We want that life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, grant us to go back, and listen to your word. And grant us open hearts to hear your voice as we engage in this instruction of 30-day miracle journey. We want to be blessed. The journey is long, but we want to be blessed at the end. We want to get to your mountain, the mountain of God. We want our dreams to be fulfilled. Bless us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen.